Today's passage is 1 Samuel 8. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 8. When Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Behold, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. According to all the deeds that they have done, from the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are also doing to you. Now then, obey their voice, only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking for a king from him. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to your servants, to his servants. He will take the tenth of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and to his servants. He will take your male servants and your female servants and the best of your young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your flocks and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, "No, but there shall be a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." And when Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Obey their voice and make them a king." Samuel then said to the men of Israel, "Go every man to his city." This chapter in 1 Samuel marks a fairly significant event in the Israelites' history, when the Israelites demand a king. Up till this point, from Genesis in the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Israel, through the Exodus when God calls the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt, through entering the promised land with Joshua, and all the way through the judges, and now in the time of Samuel, this whole time, the Israelites have not demanded a king. Yes, for a good amount of that time, they did not have their own land, but even when they did enter the promised land, they were quite unique among the nations in that their clear leader was God himself. They had a unique law given from God himself, and they relied on prophets like Samuel to hear from God and give direction. And as we'll see later in 1 Samuel, they will get their first king in the form of Saul, and many kings will follow him from then on. Looking at the first few verses of the chapter, it seems like the people had a decent reason to ask for a king. Samuel has grown old, and his sons don't walk in his ways. I want to read a couple verses from 1 Samuel 3, rewinding a few chapters back, verses 19 and 20. "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord." From those verses in 1 Samuel 3, God was with Samuel, and all Israel knew that he was established by God to be his prophet. However, his sons do not come close to his stature. They behave in the opposite manner. From verse 3, they turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. And it seems as if all Israel saw their behavior and knew God has not established them as prophets. So they tell Samuel, your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations. Again, on the surface, this request for a king seems like it has merit given the circumstances. However, the rest of the chapter tells us that the people were choosing an earthly king over God. Samuel is displeased by the request, as is God. But God tells Samuel to obey the people in this. And God says to him, "For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them." God chose the Israelites to be a holy people, to be unique because he chose them. What other nation could say that the one true God is their king? Yet the Israelites reject God's kingship. God shows incredible patience here by letting the people choose what they want to choose. He says to Samuel, "According to all the deeds they have done, from the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are also doing to you." In other words, this is what the people have done for a while now, forsaking my love for much lesser things. He knew from the beginning how sinful man was. So this request for king is kind of in line with that. And God knows that it would ultimately take his son's death on the cross to redeem all of mankind. In the middle section of the chapter, Samuel warns the people about what having an earthly king would mean. It wasn't 100% good like the people were making it out to be. It would cost them financially a tenth of their assets, along with their livelihood, since the king's government would require tons of labor. Just picking out one verse from this middle section from the warnings, verse 14 says, "He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his servants." Such would be the cost of having an earthly king. In the last section, the people pay little attention to what Samuel just said. They treat his warning like many people treat the terms and conditions when they see when signing up for a new service online. It's like they don't take in any of Samuel's warnings, but they just check the box saying, "I accept these terms and conditions," and hit submit. And what they say turns out to be very telling for where their hearts are at. "No, but there should be a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." Once again, they say this phrase, "like all the nations," but this time it's more clear. They say that we may be like all the nations. We see one of the main drivers for the desire for a king is simply just to be like all the nations. Today, as we reflect on this passage, I'd like us to examine our hearts to see if we have acted like the Israelites here. Although none of us is asking for an earthly king like the Israelites, perhaps we are metaphorically looking to be like all the nations, where we are focused on being like those around us, instead of focused on God. Is there something that we have been longing for just because it's the norm around us? Just because it's what society says we should aim for? Maybe it's a relationship status or getting to a certain financial level that we see our peers achieving. Or to borrow from Pastor Barry's message on Sunday, maybe we're seeking to rest as we see the world resting. But this is actually leading to being more burdened and burnt out, since it's not about Jesus. I know for myself, it's really easy to get into comparison mode for career. For example, when I see an update on social media about somebody I know getting promoted, even if it's a completely different line of work, I'll feel the sudden urge to be advancing in my career, and I'll start scheming about how I can make that happen if I work harder, or why why hasn't it happened yet? I'll start asking myself that question. It can come out of the blue, even if that day I've been overall satisfied with my work. I need constant reminders that God has provided so much for me, and that He has a perfect plan so that there's no need to worry and no need to compare. Aiming to quote-unquote be like all the nations will quickly lead to losing sight of God and losing sight of who God says we are. As we examine our hearts for how we may be looking at those around us versus looking at God, let's also ask ourselves if we have people like Samuel to speak into our lives. Or more importantly, are we listening to people like Samuel in our lives? People who speak sense into our lives and try to direct us to God. It may be the case that we do have brothers and sisters who are trying their best to turn our attention to God, but we just haven't been listening. Let's ask God to help us to listen to godly wisdom from brothers and sisters around us. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for this passage, and God, we thank you for your patience that you've seen the that you've shown the Israelites here, and Lord, we know that you've been patient to us many times in our lives so far. But God, help us to not be like the Israelites. But God, help us to won't you show us and help us to recognize the ways that we try to base our lives just off of those we see around us. Help us to instead look to you, God, to listen to the advice that you've been giving us through our brothers and sisters. God, that we would seek only to be defined by you. And God, that we would be unique among our peers, and that we would be a salt and a light to show others a better way to live with you. God, the way that you offer, that's full of life and full of hope. Lord, we look to you, pray for your wisdom and direction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.